This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today is Dr. Samantha Wirth. She's with the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. She'll join us in just a few moments. First off, Dr. Greg Hanzelcheck, Kansas State beef veterinarian, says nitrate issues are avoidable.
I highly recommend that anybody that's feeding a nitrate accumulator, so that's your dry land corn, your sorghum, sorghum sedan, some of your millets. I see driving around the state, I see people mowing and raking and baling in places where they haven't for a long, long time. And so there's the opportunity even baling up some Johnson grass into those bales, which is a huge nitrate accumulator. But the one thing that we don't talk enough about is oat. Oat hay and oat straw are big-time nitrate accumulators. So if you're feeding any of those kind of products, highly recommend that you sample them, have a nitrate test done on them.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Dr. Samantha Wirth. She is Executive Director of the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef. Great to see you.
Thanks, Tony. It's good to be here.
By the way, if you could work like three or four more words into the name of the organization, that would be a couple more I could stumble through. But let's talk about the organization. What is the Roundtable?
Yeah, so the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, easier way to say it, USRSB. We are a cross-sector organization that is focused on advancing sustainability across the beef industry. So we work with members all the way from cow-calf producers through to retail and food service.
Okay, so now that we know about the organization, let's find out about you. Did you grow up in ag? How'd you end up where you are today?
I did not grow up in ag. I am one of the many, many Americans now that are pretty far removed from agriculture. I grew up in San Diego. I have always loved cattle, so I went to UC Davis for my undergraduate education. Started learning more about cattle production, learning more about sustainability, and thought this is the place I want to be. This is where I feel I can make a difference, where I can help share the incredible work that's happening across the United States in a way that's going to resonate with people back home in San Diego.
Why is it that we're needing to tell this story today? In other words, why the need to have the roundtable?
The roundtable provides a really good opportunity for us to bring in cattle producers and get them at the table with retailers who are under pressure, right, from financial institutions, from global policy initiatives, right? And it's all focused around cattle are a problem because they produce emissions. It's all about climate change, right? And so sustainability in the beef industry is a great way to share our story and really get out of that myopic focus on greenhouse gas emissions and say, look, here's all the great things we're doing, and here are all the other things you're not even thinking about or talking about that we should be.
So is it safe to say you've got some goals in there?
Oh, yeah, we have goals. We actually made that official last April. We launched our U.S.-wide industry sustainability goals that have sector targets. So overarching goals that are focused on our six indicators of sustainability. So air, land, water, employee safety, animal safety, and efficiency and yield. And then we've taken it a step further to have not only overarching goals, but targets for each sector to be working on. To really help us move forward as an industry and also share our story of what are we doing now and why it matters.
So if we have goals, then I guess the next question is, do we have plans to achieve those goals? And do we have them at basically the grower level?
So one of the key things in our cow-calf sector that we're working on right now are grazing management plans. Our goal or our target for that sector across water, air, and land is to have 385 million acres under a written grazing management plan by 2050. And a lot of people will ask, well, why grazing management plans? What's the focus there? And for us, the focus is that's one of the first and probably easiest things that we can do as a community to start tracking and monitoring progress, right? If you write down what you're doing out on the land and you're taking stock of how that's working for you, then you can make changes, right? And track that and be able to keep improving, keep benefiting your animals, benefiting the land, the water, the air, all of it.
So what about just the basics, some of the things we can be doing today? Maybe we don't have the grazing management plan yet, but can we start doing something today?
Yeah, there are a few things with sustainability, you know, that we can, as producers, really lean into. One of those things is being genetics, right? I think that we get lost a lot in this sustainability conversation, talking about technology and let's feed, you know, this product or that product, and we're going to have a silver bullet. And really, genetics is that long-term tool that we have in our toolkit that's been here for generations, that has proven success rates, right, of efficiency, of animal health, of, gosh, everything. So I would say, I guess, easiest thing to do right now, focus on genetics. Get, if you've got a mama cow, make sure she has a baby every year, right? That's sustainability.
We talk about the membership of the organization. It's not just those directly in ag. How important is it to have someone from McDonald's and somebody from JBS? And we could go up and down the list, but how important is it to have all those voices sitting at the same table?
It's critically important, really. When we started the roundtable back in 2015, our past chairs will tell you we had some really fun conversations. The roundtable provides an opportunity to level set, right? To be able to not only have producers share directly with these corporations what they're doing day in and day out, but they're also able to learn from the corporations, like, what are the pressures they're under? And kind of get some idea of understanding one another. And, okay, so we know that these are the challenges we're facing. Here's how we work together to attack them or battle them in a way that's going to make sense for all of us.
Maybe safe to say at the table, not on the plate then.
Yeah.
Moving forward, we want to learn more. Can we find you online? Can we really dig in deep?
Yeah, so USRSB is online, usrsb.org. We have a ton of resources already available today, sustainability modules that can help at every stage of the supply chain. You can take a module and learn more about what is sustainability, what are the questions you want to maybe be asking yourself when you start having these thoughts about sustainability, or how can you better talk about it with those you're working with. You know, how do you share your story in a way that works? So we've got modules, we've got self-assessment tools, and we're working right now to build a lot of resources, in particular, one for grazing management plans to really help us, the producers, you know?
So good to see you. Thanks for your time. Wish you the best.
Thank you very much.
Again, it's Dr. Samantha Wirth, Executive Director, U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, from the 2023 Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show in New Orleans. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer healthcare benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative healthcare solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
It's been said defense wins championships, but in farming, playing defense doesn't pencil out. When growing cotton, you'll score big when you cut your input cost on seed and have the flexibility to apply multiple modes of action. Growing conventional cotton puts you on the offense because at the end of the season, you'll catch and delete your cotton, which helps save 50% or more on your seed costs next year. Find out why more farmers are going conventional and winning big. Call Brownfield Seed or go online, brownfieldseed.com.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Joe Proudman is Associate Director of Communications at the Clear Center at UC Davis on livestock and climate.
We're looking at climate neutrality in beef and dairy. Climate neutrality is that point where we are no longer adding warming to the climate, right? It's significant for our sector because at the end of the day, methane is our Achilles heel, right? Methane is a strong, potent gas that has a very, very short lifespan. much different than carbon dioxide. In fact, almost complete opposites, right? Not as powerful. Methane is 28 more times powerful, but has a much longer lifespan. All the carbon dioxide that we emit today will be here for generations, thousands of years. Because of that, though, and you hear this a lot, methane is our quickest tool to reduce emissions, to reduce temperatures, or to slow climate change, is because it is that short lifespan that does it. And we get to that point, if we have constant emissions, say you don't grow your herd size, we will not be adding additional warming to the atmosphere. It's a very, very rudimentary explanation of it. But generally, that's what we're talking about. The key is, though, if you reduce it, then we have really good things. Only two sectors can pull carbon out of the atmosphere. That is agriculture and forestry. So the opportunity that we have to do that is immense and to be part of a climate solution. So we really do talk about climate neutrality. When somebody talks about carbon neutrality, they're essentially talking about the same thing, right? If your primary greenhouse gas you emit is carbon dioxide, you get to zero emissions or you balance that out, you're at climate neutrality. So it's analogous. We talk a lot about dairy digesters. I'm going to show you a research paper we just did around that. We look at feed additives. In those bubbles, we'll often look at additives. So like say we're feeding them maybe like agolin or something like that, you know, where we're seeing how much methane they can reduce. I mentioned protein intake. We did a recent trial with Cargill on that. And then we're looking at how we measure methane emissions. Right now, you know, GWP 100 is kind of standard. It'll continue to be the standard, but it doesn't always account for methane's short lifespan and the consequences of that. So we talk a lot about GWP star, which is just another matrix, another way to measure how methane emissions are impacting our climate. This white paper was written, we called it the Three Amigos paper because it was written with Dr. Frank Mittlener, Dr. Ermias Cabreab, and Dr. Daniel Sumner. These were three of the leading scientists in this field. Frank and Ermias looking at how we're reducing emissions in animals, and Dan looking at the economics around agriculture and livestock. We presented this paper to the California Air Resources Board, the California Department of Food and Agriculture, the CDFA, and also the California EPA the other day, just to talk about, hey, what we're doing in the dairy sector, the emissions we're reducing, and how we're doing it, it's working. And we will meet state goals by 2030 if we continue to aggressively mitigate and incentivize these mitigations. And of course, right now I'm talking about digesters, right, on the dairy side. Digesters have been an immensely powerful tool for us at the end of the day to reduce emissions. Farmers have an income, but we've also reduced 30% of our goal so far. One thing we know is that goal, that number, that 30%, it doesn't account for all the digesters we have. We're probably much, much further along there. We further talk about the need to tackle enteric emissions and how if we really still want to reduce emissions, incentivizing those will be beneficial. The California climate investments the state has invested in, they've invested only 2% of those dollars into digesters and alternative manure management programs, but those have reduced 30% of the emissions in that program. By far, the most effective use of funds in that program so far. So we try to be the conveners, between academics, the industry, regulators, and whoever else, and consumers as well.
Joe Proudman with UC Davis on the Agribusiness Report.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton, bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Dr. Samantha Wirth, our special guest, with the U.S. Roundtable for Sustainable Beef.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness, and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you are one of almost 3 million farmers who got a Census of Agriculture questionnaire in the mail last fall and you didn't respond by the February 6th deadline, don't give it up. You've still got time.
We have extended the deadline.
Donald Weiss with USDA Statistics Service helps run the Census of Ag, which takes place every 5 years, and he told us that they've decided to accept census questionnaires on through this spring.
Because it's just that important to make sure that that every farmer is represented in our data collection.
Many USDA programs use census data to determine things like funding, and Vice says this is especially important in dealing with natural disasters.
When those disasters hit, they look for baseline data to assess impact. And for agriculture, the baseline data is the Census of Agriculture. So then it can be used to make sure that farmers are compensated for those disasters.
So Bai says it's important for each producer to respond to the census. USDA will be sending out more reminders and questionnaires during March and April. Gary Crawford, Washington.